We're going to be James chapter 4. Would you go there with me this evening? James 4. And we started last week looking at entitled In Christ. And what do we do now that we're in Christ? I know that I'm preaching to seasoned people that have lived and served the Lord for many years, but there's also a few that have not. And just a good reminder of what we should be doing and what we should have in Him. We looked at last week in 2 Timothy how that we're supposed to be a vessel unto Him, and taking ourselves as an empty vessel and letting God fill us with the Holy Spirit and using us. I got into some controversy last Sunday night because I said, I don't like to wash my coffee cup. Anyone else like that? You just like your cup? And afterwards, I had a few people talk to me, what? You don't wash your coffee cup? I said, well, and then I had another, I think it was Miss Teresa or someone said, I don't like to do that either. But anyways, we're supposed to be a vessel unto Him. And looking at that now, just shifting a little bit forward here, in James chapter 4, I want to talk about this evening drawing nigh to God and our real responsibility in doing just that. I won't read all of the chapter. Notice, if you will, verse 7, James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, as we see here this evening, we are to humble ourselves and bring ourselves into submission to Christ and let him have, again, his perfect will and way in our lives. Again, easy to say, sometimes hard to do, isn't it? And as we're living in this world, we accumulate often some dirt. We get dirty a little bit here and there. We get beat up sometimes. And living for Christ is not easy. But we can be walking with him, as James puts it, in a correct pattern or in the right way. We first, notice this, we draw nigh to him. Now, I have here, and I like this quote from A.W. Tozer. Some of you know him. But he was a pastor all the way back in the 40s and 50s. But he said this, he said, God is a person, and in the deep of his mighty nature, he thinks, he wills, he enjoys, he feels, he loves, he desires, he suffers, as any other person may. In making himself known to us, he stays by the familiar pattern of personality. He communicates with us through the avenues of our minds, our wills, our emotions, etc. The continuous and unembarrassed interchange of love and thought between God and the soul of the redeemed man is the throbbing heart of the New Testament religion. Now, just saying that, kind of hard to hear all of that or take it all in, but basically God deals and works with us just as a person, doesn't he? And he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear and see us living for him, obviously walking with him. And as James puts it, drawing nigh to him. It can't be a one-way road, can it? We can't have a single-sided relationship. I don't know if you've ever had one of those, maybe, or you've ever dealt with somebody that's had a that type of relationship with you, maybe a friend or something, but you always, you know, and we joke about it sometimes, but I tell my wife sometimes, you know, they always hold the ball. And it's like, now you got to pass the ball back now. You know, they want to do all the talking. They want to do all the, you know, all of that. And you're going, okay, I want to have a part of this relationship too. And we think about that God desires for us to draw nigh to him. Now notice though, first of all, we take the initial step. He says, draw nigh to God. It doesn't say he will draw nigh to you first. Notice this, draw nigh to God. Take the initial step. When you do, God will meet you. And by the way, more than halfway, doesn't he? Oh, he's so good to us. So God desires to fellowship with us. And the invitation goes out to all who will listen to draw nigh to him. When we do this, he rewards us. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He heard me. God desires to hear us. Anyone who will set his heart and mind to seriously and sincerely seek God will find him. We know that we will find him. And you have heard story after story and testimony maybe before of individuals seeking out, simply saying this, what? If you're out there, God, answer me, right? or I'm looking for the truth. Are you there? Are you there? Something very basic like that. And God begins to work in their lives. He begins to reveal himself to them. Now, salvation, we know, is an instantaneous event. Then you can begin the lifetime adventure of pursuing God, drawing nigh to him, if you will. It's very interesting as we study this and look at it that we can draw nigh and we can drift back, obviously. And that's what he points out to us. There must be, number one, that submissive heart to God. Resisting the devil, because he will be there right with you as you're submitting. He'll flee from you and you can draw nigh to him. Now, just a couple things here. We must determine, number one, where we are in relationship to God. Where are we? There's many who refuse to believe in God. We know that. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Or no, thank you, God. I'm not interested. He says they're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Romans 1 describes that individual. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. I talk to people all the time. They know God. Oh, they even believe in God, don't they? But they don't acknowledge him as God, do they? As we read this morning, as Jesus came to the apostles and said what? He said, hey, who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? Who do you really believe that I am? Because there were some would-be disciples among them that when the rubber met the road and Jesus got arrested and all the things started happening towards the cross, they left, didn't they? It says they all forsook him and fled. All of them. All of them. And so as we think about here, there's people that know God. They talk about God. They say they believe God, but what? They glorify him not as God. Now, there are many who believe in God but are deceived about salvation. They're truly deceived. Matthew 7:13, he talks about entering in the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereout. That's why we're very cautious about some churches that link up or hook up with some of these organizations and things that are very large and big that we don't agree with. Oh, we're doing it for a good cause. Well, we've got to be careful about that, don't we? Very careful. Our goal here is obviously, as I said today, preaching the gospel of Christ, keeping that at the center. Now he says there's a broad gate leads to destruction. They claim to be Christians. They believe that Christ exists. They may even believe that he died on the cross for the sins of the world. But what? They do not know him. And the Lord makes mention of this and says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that work iniquity. Now, I'm just talking about this evening, those we have to determine where we are in relation with God or in a relationship to God. Are you a true believer tonight? I believe most of you are. As we're working towards reaching folks, where are you? Now, secondly, where are you at in your walk with him? As we submit ourselves to him and trust him. Now, we have to understand that God resists the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. That's what he says in verse 6. And coming back to the beginning of the chapter 4, he begins it out with what? Wars and fightings. Where are they coming from? The lust in your members or your body. Ye lust, have not. Ye kill, desire. There's all kinds of issues going on, he says. And it comes directly back from us not submitting ourselves to him. Okay, so we're drawing nigh to him. Some are caught up in what we would call the affairs of this life. They do not desire to be a part of God. They don't desire to be a part of the church, part of the Word of God, etc., etc. As I read that quote from A.W. Tozer in the beginning about that, that we don't all of a sudden go, wow, yeah, I do want to be a Christian, or I do want to, no. We really realize that all that Christ did for us, we realize the love he had for us and has for us. And sadly, it takes a moment or an event in somebody's life where they hit rock bottom, doesn't it? Before they look up to the cross and go, the only answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are unaware that they can have more in Christ. Where are we at in relation to God? You can have so much more. For me, I know that. I fail so often to not take all that God wants to give me, right? I like the story given. I think it was John R. Rice made a statement, and he said, I don't know if he said a dream or something, but he got to heaven, and he walked in, and everything that he did, and he bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, all the things that we talk about or read in the Bibles, and he was just so amazed at the heaven and all the things there and the mansion and everything waiting. And he's walking down, and he said, "Now, this is your mansion." And he said, "Wow, this is awesome. This is great." And he gave him the key, and he went, opened the key, unlocked the door, walked in the door, looked, walked around the entire house. And then he saw this little room off to the side, and he said to the angel there, he said, "What's that little room?" And he opened it up, and it was just filled from ceiling to floor with gifts, presents, boxes with bows on it. And he said, "What in the world is this?" He said, "These are all the gifts and things that God wanted to give you, but you didn't ask for it." Right? You didn't want it. You didn't ask him for it. And so often I think about that, that's a rather funny illustration, but you understand how much God wants to do for us and how much more we can have in him. You say, "Well, man, I've been trying to live for God and it's just uphill. It's a battle." And I feel you. Man, it's difficult, isn't it? And it's tough. But if you'll stay close to him, I promise you, you will see the results. You'll see what God will do for you. And so many quit so soon, don't they? Right there at the end, right when they could be blessed. No, notice this this evening. Number two, we need to then take the steps necessary to draw nigh to him. What are these? Well, number one, you know this, believe in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is one, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. We must, again, put forth the effort, but know that we must believe in him. Secondly, respond to the invitation. Respond. There's many people that are truly saved, and you know this, but they never draw nigh to God, do they? They never take the initial steps of drawing nigh to him and saying, "Lord, I want to draw nigh to you." And by the way, God will not be somewhere where he's not invited. Now, he loves us and cares for us, and he'll bless us. But if we don't invite him in, you ever been to a place where you're not invited? You know, you walk in and everyone stops talking, or you walk in and it gets real awkward. That's what I believe truly, as we saw in that statement in the beginning. God desires and acts and works just as a person would, obviously being God Almighty. But we see here, we must respond to his invitation. "Lord, help me." God has moved us toward us, I should say. He's removed all the things out of the way for us to have a true relationship with him. We must take the initial step. God invites us to move toward him. Psalm 27:8, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." I'll do what you've asked me to do, drawing nigh to him. We know that we must trust him. Trust in Christ as our Savior, but also trust him with our day-to-day life. The worry, fear, and anxiety that this old world puts on us. You can't watch a football game, a baseball game. You can't watch any of it without them pushing something on you. Fear and distrust and worry, right? All the things. "Well, you don't have enough money." "Oh, yeah." "You don't have a big enough house." "Oh, yeah." "You don't have the nice things that they have." "Oh, you're right." All those things, they push on us. Constant, constant, constant. Every commercial you watch is about something. It's either alcohol, a car, isn't it? Or something to buy. And you're going, "Well, I didn't know that I needed a Lexus, but I guess I do." With a big bow on it. By the way, that's so, I'll say, silly. Isn't that silly? I want to use other words, but some guy walks out with his wife and has a big bow on a brand new Lexus. Nobody does that, do they? And if they, man, I'd like that. If you, that is so, "Hey, we got you a Lexus with a bow, but we know you don't want it. You didn't want that, Tim." No, that's okay. I did want it. Oh, just kidding. But you think about, that is so foolish, but that's the world, isn't it? And by the way, the alcohol commercials, aren't they? "Oh, drink this and everyone's having a good time on the beach. Woo, party, and everyone's good looking, aren't they? They're all men." No, you go to the beach with people drinking alcohol, they're all, I won't even say it. They're nasty, and bad things happen, bad things. But that's the world. Isn't it? We come back to trusting him. You know the verse. I'll read it though. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean a little bit unto thine own understanding in case things don't work out." Does it say that? No. "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." You know that. Do you trust him? Love and obey him. Obey him. "If any man love me," notice, "he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, will come to him, will make our abode with him. If ye are my friends, ye do whatsoever I command you. Proverbs 17:17, he says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Just talking about a friendship we have in him. Let me hurry here and say that we must then communicate with him. You and I know friends talk with each other. They communicate. But we must communicate with God. God wants you to talk to him. He's listening. God wants you to talk and communicate with him. Are you listening as he talks to you? Every relationship is one person talking, one listening. Sometimes we should and often switch that. We don't do good at that. I need to listen more. You need to not talk so much, or the vice versa. But notice that. It's always there, drawing nigh to God. Notice the interaction here with the Lord. He doesn't sit idly by. And sadly, people say, well, God's never done nothing for me. God ain't answering me. God's not listening. Well, what are you doing with God, right? What am I doing with him? You ever talk to him. You don't ever ask him. You don't ever invite him into your house or into the church. You're never asking him to guide and help. Oh, and we could go on, right? As we think about it, he makes his presence known to us. Our focus must be on him, though. And when it's all about me, the Lord will take a step back. That's clear in Scripture. I do not sense his presence. When it's all about him, as it should be, his presence is very real and very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. People often think that it's the opposite. As you see the accounts in the New Testament of the people, they would invite him into the home, and then they would get real uncomfortable and awkward. And Jesus would often make light of it and say things. And you remember the one time when the Pharisees that were there were saying something, not out loud, but in their hearts. They were thinking it. And he turns to them and he says, why are you thinking that? And they all, what? How do you know what I'm thinking? And they denied it. Of course, we're not saying that. We're not thinking that. But you think about Jesus and desires, again, that kind of relationship. But notice to the second point here. He says, then cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So there's a process that comes when we draw nigh to God. Naturally, we want to cleanse our hands. That's what we touch and deal with, obviously, in day-to-day life, talking both spiritually, if you will, and physically. In a way, cleanse your hands, he says, purify your hearts. You're double-minded. Double-minded, meaning you cannot serve God and mammon. So often we get that way, don't we? I want to serve God. I want to serve man. I want to do my thing, but oh Lord, I'll also add you to my list and to my life. And he says, purify your hearts. Purify. Though the pure in heart, what happens? They shall see God. Either there's a clarity of focus, right? We purify that. But anyways, we come to this. Begin enjoying those immediate rewards of a relationship. What is it? A couple things here, and I'll wrap it up. Confidence. There's confidence when we have a true, pure relationship with him. Oh, confidence in him. Peace that comes. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. And we talked about Psalm 34. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? The offending, woe unto them, Jesus said, through whom offenses come. People that offend you. But he says, if you're offended, as remember Brother Sykes mentioned to us, we forgive and we move forward from that. But he says, notice, there's confidence, there's peace. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Enemies. We have our needs met, not our wants, but our needs. If you're like me, I mix those two up. I make them synonymous and they're not, are they? I have a want, but God says that's not a need right now. That's a want. And he clarifies that, again, through time with him. All my needs are met. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack. They suffer hunger. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I'm referencing a lot of Proverbs and Psalms tonight, and I encourage you to read those books. Read, stay in your proverb every day. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. I don't know if that's true, but we were taught that. But keep a proverb. Read one proverb. They're on average about 20, 25 verses. You could do that in about, what, a couple minutes? Maybe 3-4 minutes? Maybe that's too fast. But take some time. You could whiz through that. But stay in Proverbs. Take time to read through the Psalms. Oh, there's such a treasure trove of so much there that you could gain from it. But again, coming back to enjoying immediate rewards with him, personal friendship. a personal friendship with Jesus Christ, an intimate knowledge of what God is doing. I thought about, I was reading the other day, the account of Abraham. And God began, came to Abraham, and at the time his name was Abram, and he told him what he wanted to do. But I noticed with Abraham, he didn't tell, Abraham was one of the only fellows that he actually told what he was going to do up front with everything. I think besides Moses as well. But, and I thought it's because he could trust Abraham. He could tell Abraham, I'm going to give you children and grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. As he says, you can't even count them. There's so many. Like the sand of the sea, stars of heaven. And Abraham didn't say, well, he did tell the Lord, now, Lord, you know I'm elderly and I have no children. But he knew he could tell him that. And he says, I want you to go to a place I'm not going to tell you yet. Abraham said, okay, I'll go. But he knew he could trust Abraham. He knew he could put confidence in that because of who he was. We know that. God will reveal to us what he's doing in and around our lives as we draw nigh to him. We're not drawing away from him. That's when we get disoriented. That's when we get discombobulated. We get scared. Draw nigh to God. God is as close to you as you will allow him to be. He's close to you as you will allow him to be. And that's what we want to focus in on. As you're in Christ, you're saved. Now you're walking with him. Not only as an empty vessel, you're poured out for him. Lord, do with me as you want. Help me to be what you want me to be. It's funny, we'll pour ourselves out to things of the world, pour ourselves out to other stuff. Oh, but we need to pour ourselves out. I'm talking to myself here about his work and doing what he wants me to do. Secondly, drawing nigh to him. Lord, help me to do so. It's a daily, daily grind sometimes, but we can do it. Say, Lord, I prioritize you in my life. You're number one. I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do because I know there's children, grandchildren, a spouse, a friend, coworkers. They're all watching me, aren't they? Are you going to church tonight again? Well, yeah. That means something to them. Are you going to go to church again? You're reading your Bible again? You're staying faithful to God again? You're praying again? Yeah. They may mock and ridicule now, but one day they'll go, I know who to go to. I know who to turn to. Oh, I know. Mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, somebody. They've drawn nigh to God. They know him personally. They walk with him. He walks with me and talks with me. And we think about that wonderful thing. But are you drawing nigh to him? Humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. God wants to use us tonight, but so often we hinder him from doing so. Are you drawing nigh to him? Are you walking with him? All right, I'll stop there for this evening. But as you're in Christ, I'd encourage you with that. Take time this week. Remember that God's given us another week, another opportunity to serve him, to love him, and to know him a little bit more. And hopefully we'll continue to grow towards that great day when we get to be with him for all of eternity, each day growing a little closer. And Lord, we do thank you for this evening. And just as we think about here, Father, that we can draw nigh to you. What a wonderful opportunity to think about. Boys, we read so many verses to deal with our relationship with you. We ask that you would help us this week again. We can't do it on our own. Lord, we are empty without you. We'll fail. We'll mess up. But God, you can help us and guide us and direct us. Help us to draw nigh to you daily and keep focused on you, staying fruitful, staying faithful, all of that, that we would glorify you with our lives and we'd bring more people to know you personally. We love you and thank you for the precious Bible, for the Holy Spirit, for the Church of God. And I thank you personally for these here that have been so faithful to your house. Bless our church, Lord, now and the week to come. In Jesus' name, we do pray all of this and amen.